It is time for your KDNK local newscast for this Wednesday morning, January 18th. I'm Steve Cole, live from the heart of Carbondale's Creative District. Roaring Fork School District has set this Friday, January 20th, as the deadline for universal enrollment. KDNK News intern Raleigh Burley asked Angie Davlin, senior project manager for the district, who works closely with Superintendent Rob Stein and the rest of the executive team, to explain how the new policy works.
In previous years, enrollment was conducted by individual schools on different timelines, and it was tough for us as a district to plan ahead for our budget and different resources and especially staffing needs. So this year, we are running enrollment as a single enrollment process right now between January 9th to the 20th to gain a better and earlier understanding of where students will attend school for the coming fall 2017-18 school year.
And what is that based on? Why this year and not previous years?
With the building of the new Riverview School and the recent redrawing of school boundaries, we know that there's some confusion out there among people about where they'll end up going to school. And then also, all families have the right to choose which school they want to attend. And so the more awareness we have and the earlier notification we have of that, the better we can plan ahead to ensure that all students have a seat at the school they want to attend.
And does the district have a say in which kids go to which school? And if they turn away certain kids at one school, perhaps, and allocate the number of students in the schools?
So as long as parents turn in enrollment forms by our January 20th deadline, we are guaranteeing enrollment for students at the school that's within their attendance area, the school that they are currently attending, and for any children of full-time Roaring Fork School staff, any district school within the town that their parent works at. We're also giving us special priority to students who have a sibling currently attending a school, and we're reserving 48% of the available seats, which is equivalent to the district average, for students whose primary home language is something other than English. And the intention there is to ensure that the demographics of each school mirror the demographics of the district as a whole.
And that was Angie Davlin, senior project manager for Roaring Fork School District, speaking to KDNK News intern Raleigh Burley. More info at rfschools.com. Pitkin County Open Space and Trails hosts an open house in the community room at Town Hall in Carbondale tonight from 5 to 7 to continue gathering input about the proposed Carbondale to Crested Butte Trail. KDNK News Director Gavin Dahl got the lowdown on the project from Lindsay Utter, planning and outreach manager for Pitkin Open Space.
There's a new proposed trail that would span 83 beautiful miles from Carbondale to Crested Butte. You guys had a meeting in Redstone last week, and tonight, Wednesday, January 18th, you'll be getting together with folks at Carbondale Town Hall from 5 to 7 p.m. How did it go in Redstone last week?
We had a great turnout. We had about 65 people sign in, which is awesome for us. It's an open house format, so there's no formal presentation. A lot of it is collecting feedback from the public on their thoughts regarding the Crystal Valley as a whole, as well as what sorts of data they would like to see us gather in order to reconvene later this year and have a more informed discussion about certain segments of the trail.
Give us the background on this project. Where did this all start?
You know, this is something that really originated in the 90s. Early 90s was the first time that the idea of a Carbondale to Crested Butte trail was envisioned. And then in 2004, there was a feasibility study that was done, sponsored by the Scenic Byway Committee, that demonstrated that there was a feasible route on public lands or within public rights-of-way that could connect Carbondale all the way to Crested Butte. And then since then, on our side at least, the first segment that was heading out the Crystal, ending at the KOA campground, was completed in 2010. And then since that, in the last few years, the governor has identified priority projects around the state for trails and missing links. And the Carbondale to Crested Butte Trail was identified as one of those missing links. and then we won a grant to help with the planning. So that kind of helped us kick things off again in 2017 to identify the preferred route for the trail.
There are a few key obstacles in your way. One is the potential impact on wildlife. Obviously, Pickens County Open Space and Trails has a great record on this, but that's something that's going to be a consideration. There could be some resistance from private property owners along the route, and funding, like any project, is going to be an issue. But let's start with the topic of cyclist safety. I thought there was a great quote in Ryan Summerlin's article about your Redstone meeting where Chuck Downey, a resident of Redstone, said, "As it is, it takes a guy with a death wish to ride a bicycle up 133.
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the key goals of the project, is looking at how we can improve the safety for cyclists and pedestrians in the Valley Corridor. Right now, there is obviously no connection for someone to choose to ride their bike. It has to be on the highway. So the goal would be to try to make it a safer scenario for cyclists and pedestrians.
So then on the subject of private property owners, Chuck Ogilby, the owner of Avalanche Ranch, said that his family would love to have this trail right outside their front door. Have you heard yet from opposition folks?
We heard from people at the open house itself. And as part of the open house, there are comment forms that everyone can fill out. And we're accepting comments on those through the end of February. But, yeah, I mean, people are concerned about what that would mean, what that trail would mean. And so that's what we're working through this year, essentially, is looking at what's the best public route for this trail.
And so when you look at the map from Carbondale down to Redstone and then across McClure Pass, and then take us south from there, what's the vision for the trail? I know there's some of this is still to be determined.
So once you get on McClure, you're entering Gunnison County. And so they're in a little bit different scenario where the trail route is on the forest. They don't have the variety. They don't have the CDOT right-of-way. They don't have open space. They don't have private property. It's all Forest Service. And so therefore, staff is looking at it directly. But coming out at the top of McClure, all the way down to Erickson Springs, which would be like the bottom of kind of before you start going up Kebler Pass, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
All of that is existing trail. So that's an existing what's called the Ragged's Trail and the Williams Creek Connector. So from there, going to Crested Butte, there are various segments that already exist that they've worked on their side. And then they're currently looking at and laying out other segments. The original vision of the trail was single track from Redstone to Crested Butte.
And so, for example, the Ragged's Trail, some of that is more ATV than mountain bike. Is that right?
Yeah, the Williams Creek Connector portion, motorized use, is acceptable.
You're talking about maybe 20 miles that you would need between KOA and McClure, and then about 30 miles on the Crested Butte side, is that right?
Yeah, roughly. There's a few different alignments that they can look at that will determine the total mileage, but roughly speaking.
Governor Hickenlooper selected this project as one of the 16 and 2016 trails. Open Spaces has put up a couple $100,000 for this project. And then what about this grant funding you mentioned?
Yeah, so that the grant dollars that we just won from Great Outdoors Colorado will go towards the planning. And so we know on our side that looking at the environmental studies that we want to do, as well as anything that would need to go through NEPA, as well as engineering feasibility, that our side has a lot more going on, and it's going to take some funding to even get the planning in place. And then for the Gunnison side, they can do some of their studies in-house, but they will also need some outside funding to help with some of the studies on the forest.
And then the last thing I want to ask you about is something really important to all of us on this, no matter how much we love or couldn't care less about bicycling, and that's wildlife habitat. I mean, just along the Crystal River, for example, you have riparian habitat. I would guess you guys, no matter what happens, you would do some seasonal closures like we do here with the Rio Grande Trail. What's your big picture on the potential impacts on wildlife?
We will absolutely be looking into all of that. And Open Space and Trails has seasonal closures on trails and properties. And that's something we do want feedback on, is how, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to need to make some decisions and what sorts of data and information with the public like those discussions to be based upon.
What about folks who are not able to make it out tonight? How can they submit their comments to you guys?
They can visit our website for projects, which is called PitkinOSTProjects.com. And on there, there's a page for the Carbondale to Crested Butte Trail Planning Effort. And on that page, we'll be posting everything that we gather at the open houses, as well as the survey that the public can fill out. All comments will be due by the end of next month.
That's Lindsay Utter, Planning and Outreach Manager for Pitkin County Open Space and Trails. The meeting is tonight, Wednesday, January 18th at Town Hall in Carbondale from 5 to 7.
Yeah, thank you. And we hope to see everyone.
Just when you thought you were safe from election news, one of the first contenders for the 2018 gubernatorial race in Colorado has announced his candidacy, Penta Berkland reports.
Michael Johnston served almost two full terms as a Democratic state senator representing Denver. He's also a former teacher, high school principal, and education advisor to President Obama. With current Governor John Hickenlooper term limited, Johnston says it made sense to start campaigning early.
There's just such a groundswell of momentum right now of people who want to be involved in politics and want to build a different kind of future for the state, want to be able to prove that we can still solve big problems in the public square.
Johnston was the architect behind the state's teacher evaluation system, which eliminated tenure. He says he wants to protect access to health care, college, and clean air. Prominent Democrats, such as former U.S. Senator Ken Salazar and U.S. Representative Ed Perlmutter, are also rumored to be considering gubernatorial bids. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
If you love to walk and learn about Colorado's history and architecture, there's now an app for that, thanks to AARP. Eric Galatis has more.
A new smartphone app might be just the incentive seniors need to keep New Year's resolutions to maintain a healthy lifestyle. Jeremiah Mora with AARP Colorado says the group partnered with GeoTourist to create Neighbor Walks audio tours of historic sites around Denver. He says the goal was to create a fun with purpose opportunity for more people to get out and take a walk.
To really get people out into the community exercising and to learn more about what's going on in Denver in history and what they can explore.
The group's first tour takes users to 20 different points of interest surrounding the Colorado State Capitol building, including the unsinkable Molly Brown's house and the governor's mansion. Users can visit sites in any order they like, and as they get close, they'll hear stories told by a local historian. The app can be downloaded for free on iTunes or Google Play. The group created a second tour focused on Denver's LGBT history and includes landmarks such as Cheeseman Park, the site of Denver's first gay pride celebration, and Charlie's Bar, which hosted the Colorado Gay Rodeo Association. Morris says he's hopeful the app will also inspire younger members of the LGBT community.
To understand where we've been, what the community has had to go through to become where we are today, I think it provides a great overview of the history for the LGBT community.
Regular aerobic activity, such as walking, can lead to numerous health benefits for older Americans, according to the National Institute on Aging, such as improved heart health, relief from arthritis symptoms, and reduced anxiety and depression. For KDNK, I'm Eric Galatis.